For anyone who's ever had a bout of anxiety, whether worrying about events beyond their control or standing in the cereal aisle, paralyzed by the myriad of choices, Daniel Smith will make you feel a little bit better. In Monkey Mind, a memoir of anxiety, he gives an account of his lifelong struggle with chronic anxiety, beginning with his first severe episode at the age of 16. Again, the name of the book is Monkey Mind, A Memoir of Anxiety. Daniel Smith, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
What got you thinking about writing about your anxiety?
Well, for many years, I've been reading books about anxiety, books that that look at anxiety from a clinical perspective or from a therapeutic perspective, from a self-help perspective. But I hadn't really ever seen a book that looks at anxiety as something that a person lives with day in and day out, something that affects their relationships, their career, just their day-to-day existence. And it seemed like a worthy project. It seemed like an important thing to describe, because anxiety isn't simply a disorder. It's an emotion. It's an experience. It's something that you live with, and that profoundly colors human experience.
When did you first start to notice? As I mentioned in the introduction, you were a teenager when this first came upon you.
I was. Yeah, I'd been a jittery kid. I'd always been afraid of things. I was very homesick. Suffered from a lot of separation anxiety. Was afraid of flushing the toilet, was afraid of swimming, was afraid of all sorts of things, but wasn't, all the anxiety was always tolerable until I was a teenager and had an unusual and what was for me a traumatic first sexual experience, after which anxiety became something that I could no longer chalk up to a sort of regular old skittishness or regular old childhood nerves, but something that was chronic and acute, and that made it difficult to live in my day-to-day life, made it difficult to concentrate in the classroom or do anything, really, and something for which I had no choice but to try to understand and try to treat in a real muscular way.
When you first have that paralyzing, crippling attack,
mm-hmm.
it just scares you to death, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because you have no idea what is causing you to feel that way, other than for some reason you're dying.
Yeah, well, it's like a fever that comes over you, and it's interesting that you should say that, you know, you think that you're dying. I think that there are two major thoughts that come over people who have this paralyzing, this crippling anxiety. One of them is, I'm going to die. And I certainly had that. I was convinced, despite all evidence to the contrary, that I was going to die of AIDS. It was impossible that that happened, given the situation, and yet that's what I thought. But the other thought that people have is, I'm going crazy. I'm going insane, and I'm never going to return from the land of the insane. Those two poles are I'm going to die or I'm going to go crazy seem to be this primal atavistic fears that take hold when anxiety first comes over you like a fever.
And you try to figure out, you try to rationalize yourself out of that feeling of why you are in the fetal position in your bed with a blanket over your head and don't want to move.
Yeah, you try to rationalize it. If you're wise, you try to rationalize it. Or if you're like me, you indulge it. And you say, well, this is it. This is the way it's always going to be. And you dig into yourself. You dig into those anxiety-provoking thoughts. You dig into those thoughts of catastrophe looming around every corner. You dig into those thoughts that every little hint of human experience is speaking directly to you and your anxieties. And then you simply are on that treadmill that seems like you'll never get off it. Now, if you try to be rational about it, a lot of times those rational thoughts are paradoxically themselves irrational. If you're hypochondriacal, you might say, well, I'm feeling this stomach ache because I have bowel cancer, when it's in fact you have that stomach ache because you're anxious. Now, that's a rational thought because you're trying to figure out what this symptom is. It just happens to be incorrect. And it's very hard to trust one's own mind when you're in a state of anxiety because it's a state of such deep pessimism and despair.
Why do you think so many of us suffer from it?
Well, it's a universal feeling. Anxiety is something that's adaptive. It's something that the species has always needed in order to protect itself. However, a lot of the things that we needed to be vigilant against, predators, for example, animal predators, don't exist in our daily lives. So that fear, that sensation gets projected onto other things, like, as you said, what type of cereal should I choose? We're not really adapted to live in this modern life. And so our anxiety takes hold because of small and insignificant things. That's one reason. I mean, a lot of people think that we live in a time that is prototypically anxious or especially anxious because of how many options we have. We are free to do so many things. If you live in the modern West, despite the recession, we still are more prosperous than we've been in any time in history. And with that prosperity comes a sense of freedom. And with freedom, as a lot of theorists of anxiety have said, comes great anxiety because you are forced to face choices every day. And those choices, because of the way our minds work, make us believe that they're all dire and they're all important. That's one possible reason. Another is that we live in a time of great uncertainty, not just financial, but ecological and in terms of war and terrorism. There are a lot of factors that wake up every day. We're so faced with so much information, so much negative information, that it's anxiety provoking.
How do you feel about medication? You started taking Xanax as a kid. How do you feel about medication now of helping you cope with the problem?
I've been on medication called Lexapro for a very long time, and I'm not sure what it's doing for me anymore. It's an antidepressant. It's an SSRI, so it's used for depression and anxiety. For me, what it does is it prevents me from my anxiety from peaking. So I no longer descend, to use the opposite metaphor, into these troughs of horrible anxiety from which I don't think I'm going to be able to claw my way out. I still experience anxiety every day. How do I feel about it? I think it's extremely useful. I still have a nagging feeling that I shouldn't be on them. But I think that's plain old ignorance. I think that's sort of just a puritanical holdover. Mm. They can be a wonderful tool, and they don't cause me any side effects. So I don't know why I still have the feeling that maybe I should do it on my own.
Well, I can't tell you how many books come across my desk that are, you know, how to get off of these medications.
Yeah.
And the horrible things that they do to you. And then I think to myself, well, yes, I should then try to get off this medication that I've been on for so long. And then yet, like you, I feel, well, okay, but it's helping me in my life. Do I really want to take that chance and get off of it? And then my third thought, which is less charitable, is probably the person who wrote that book never had anxiety.
Right, exactly. They just don't get it, maybe. It's entirely possible. Or they had a horrible experience, you know? I mean, there are trade-offs. There's cost-benefit analysis you have to run with anything. And if you know that without the medication, that your experience without the medication was you were in a state of paralyzing anxiety or depression, and that with it you have, you know, some digestive problems that are tolerable with antacids, well, then you make that call. But it's a strange thing because we know so little, despite what everyone says, you know, despite the brain getting such press these days, we know so little about what causes these things. And in fact, we know very little about the mechanisms of the medication itself, themselves. And also, I think that people overestimate our intelligence. I know what works for me with for anxiety. I know that if I meditate every day for 5 minutes, I'll feel much better. And so I do that. And a month goes by, and I feel great. And what do? Oh, I feel better. I don't need to meditate anymore, which is plain old dumb. So I
right.
stop, and then I descend into anxiety again. I just don't have the memory to remember that that I should keep doing it. I don't know why that is. I wish I was more intelligent.
It's an amazing book. It's Monkey Mind, A Memoir of Anxiety. Daniel Smith, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you. Again, Monkey Mind, published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.